okay, we got the real burnouts. They finally made it. Their entourage is here. We've had to cage some people in the back. What's it like?
It was a very successful tour, Alex.
Okay.
Very successful. We went all around the world. It was our semi-world tour.
Okay.
So many interesting places that you can't even imagine.
Okay, I heard they really loved you in Rongovia.
We went over smashingly well there. We had actually a number one, a number two, and a number three simultaneously.
Wow.
In that country there. Can you hear me now?
Becoming number one in Rongovia put you like about 35,596 on the world charts, was that?
Approximately.
Cool. You got to get your start somewhere. You
know? That's what I'm trying to tell everybody, uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. One person at a time.
Yeah.
Wherever I see them, I tell them, you know?
Yeah.
You got to get your start somewhere.
Right.
You know?
And you're like local boys done good. You showed that, you know, you could get out of Utica and become big in Rongovia.
And then we can go right back to Utica if we want to in our big tour bus
uh-huh.
that we got parked outside.
Uh-huh.
It's very successful, yeah. Alex.
I heard that the Princess of Rongovia bought that bus for you. She was so enamored with your music.
Well, that's half true because it was a used bus.
Mm-hmm. It was a used bus.
It used to be Motley Crue's old tour bus back in the early 80s.
Right.
Late 70s when they were first getting their big start.
Uh-huh.
When started smashing their guitars and stuff.
Yeah. I noticed there was a Motley Crue painting on the side there.
Yeah, it's really hard to get off of there. We tried on a couple of sunny days.
Uh-huh.
You know, we just pull over and we would scrub that thing with, we tried some gasoline that was spilling all over the place out of the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely weird and funny story about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we also took a sponge
mm-hmm.
and we tried to get all there and it wouldn't come off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was all painted on there.
Yeah. I noticed you were also using like some twister boards for windows on it.
That was another crazy night there. Let's just say there was a little bit of booze. A little bit of booze on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that? Booze?
Yeah.
And booze on the bus.
The roof is a little caved in.
A little bit. Luke one night put his head right through it. He thought he was convinced that there was a sunroof.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the effects of LSD and when you take it on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't know what's gonna happen, you know.
Yeah. Well, we promote LSD ingestion, talking to dolphins. That's the name of the show here. So
I hear about that. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
By the dolphins talking.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of communicating with the dolphins. They're the only ones that'll listen to me, basically. So
through LSD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also impressed mm-hmm. by that as well.
Yeah. Although you don't really need it after the first few trips with your dolphin, you sort of get on the same wavelength. So you don't really need.
No pun intended, huh?
Yeah,
the waves.
Mm-hmm. But they don't hit bongs very well. So
you got to put it up to their blowhole.
Have you tried that?
That was another funny story, actually, on our tour, and we actually killed the dolphin that way. Apparently, they
sticking a bong up its blowhole.
They're not supposed to smoke marijuana. Apparently,
no.
Not God's way.
It's bad for people. It's bad for dolphins. You know, that's. I mean, we could have PETA on our case. I think so. Maybe another disclaimer. So that was inappropriate. So what's it like being back in Utica? There's no dolphins here.
It's been great, Alex. We've met up with a bunch of our old friends,
mm-hmm.
and we did a bunch of reminiscing about old times when we were first starting out. We're all strapping our bootstraps, you know, we're really struggling, mm-hmm. playing all these local clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the past, you know. You can't get too hung up in the past there. You know, you gotta go around the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
play all these weird places that we've played at.
Yeah.
But you don't even know if they're gonna like you or not.
Right.
But this one time we called up here, mm-hmm. I think it was this same radio station from San Francisco, California, we called. Mm-hmm. We
yeah.
called in. We did a radio interview with the radio personality on that night.
Mm-hmm.
I think his name was Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, radio personality. That's
yeah.
what I called him that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we met a lot of interesting people in San Francisco when they were doing drugs, and
uh-huh.
there was a lot of psychedelic music.
Uh-huh.
Charles Manson, and you know, all that West Coast
stuff that they do
out there. You know?
How's Charlie doing out there?
Charlie's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote him a letter once, and he didn't write back. But I think he's doing pretty good out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got my fingers crossed for him. Looks like the lines are lighting up there.
Yeah, well, the lines are going off. It's like a Christmas tree here. I think there's a lot of people here that are excited about your return. And what about the old like club owners in Utica? That I imagine they regret now that you're number one in Rongovia. That you know they didn't like have you perform more when you were here.
You know what? I hope all these local club owners burn in H-E double hockey sticks.
Uh-huh.
If I can say that on the radio, because you know they don't really know what they're doing. You know, they keep promoting all this same old dirt. Oh, it's old dirt, it's as old as the earth, you know? But now we got something new. We're doing new stuff. We're doing new. We're changing the world. And then they can't even see us in the mirror. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Isn't it crazy you got to go to Rongovia to get heard, you know?
That's all I'm trying to say, one person at a time. Jeez, I like that. I like that telephone. I've got to get one of those myself.
Hey, you guys want to bust out a few songs for the audience?
Let's play a couple
audience?
Of tunes for all these people here. Now I'll be back around. Okay. I'd like to introduce the band real quick, if I could.
Yep.
Sitting over here on my left side is Luke Burnout. He's a good one.
How you doing?
That's a good one. Make sure you get real close into there, you know. To my right over here is Bobby Burnout. He is well known for smashing acoustic guitars.
Yes.
Well known for it. But anyway, let's go to a couple of tunes here. Let's play this first one here. It's a good one. It's called Get Behind the Wheel and Shift It. It's all about mental disorders and stuff like that. Let's try to take this one. Here we go.
Say who you are, you've got to stick with it. If you're crazy, then you're crazy, you've got to deal with it. But if you're not, and it's still a crock, then get behind the wheel and shift it. They might have known, they show up on film. I've been running around and broke some more records just when you thought I was safe. I missed the plate. I won't disturb, so the signs say, kick them to the curb on garbage day. I barely know what I'm doing. Like a human insect rodent pet. Treat a treat, take it, say who you are, you've got to stick with it. If you're crazy, then you're crazy, you've got to deal with it. But if you're not, and it's still a crock, then get behind the wheel and shift it. Then get behind the wheel and shift it. Get behind the wheel and shift it.
All right, all right. That's a good tune. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody.
That felt pretty well.
That went really good. We actually released that one in the UK as a flip side. It was a double A-side single, and it was the same song on both sides.
It outsold the Sex Pistols.
It outsold the Sex Pistols?
Yes,
that's
it did.
News to me.
I got new. Got the news today.
Their latest album? It outsold their latest album?
Yes.
Wow, that's exciting news. That's very successful news.
I missed that song because I had to go outside and commune with the moths. There's all these moths gathering out there.
I noticed that. I think they're having sex out there. It was like a college campus.
Yeah.
Except there's STDs all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they had wings. Most,
you know, I didn't think about that. That's a good point, Alex.
They get around.
They did have wings.
Yeah.
All those college students, all those social butterflies out there, you know.
Well, I thought they were gathering to hear your song, but I missed it. But what inspired it?
What inspired that song? It's a really funny story about that, actually. Our song's about mental illness and about dressing up for Halloween and stuff like that. You know, how you dress up and you wear a costume or whatever that one day of that one magical day of the year, you know. But the thing is, though, I think a lot of people, when they put on that costume, they lose themselves, you know? They get lost, you know? They think there's somebody else, you know? But all I'm trying to say is, one person at a time, from me to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, is that you don't lose yourself. Stay beautiful. You're beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. That's
you're
beautiful.
Welcome.
That's
not just you, Alex, but all the listeners
out there. Right, right,
right.
Yeah. That's a groovy message, man. That's really cool.
Thank you. That's what that song is about.
That's cool.
Can we play another song for you?
Absolutely.
All right. I thought you'd never ask. This next one here is also a beautiful song. It's a love tune about being in love. Let's try to take it, shall we? Oh, this silly me. This song is called I Want You to Be With Me. That's the name of it. It's a good one. Let's try to take it, shall we?
Beautiful song, man.
Thank you very
listening
much.
To 88.7 WHCL, if you haven't looked at your dial. Paul, I couldn't help but wonder, that's a really moving song. I'm genuinely moved and impressed. But
thank you very much, Alex.
I have to say, your singing voice is so much more melodic than your talking voice. I mean, how do you get, is it just different?
I've never noticed, you know. I just try to transcend what's coming through me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
You know how some people get struck by lightning and they die?
Uh-huh.
I get struck by lightning and I live.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Wow,
I can't explain it.
It's like you're, you know, a caterpillar when you talk and a butterfly when you sing or something. I don't know.
I don't know what that means about me personally.
Right. Yeah.
But I guess I appreciate the metaphor.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm flat. This is just brilliant music. You're entertaining our listeners to live.
Thank you a lot for having us.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we could be anywhere right now, but we're here.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
the most important thing.
I understand.
Pick a book and open it up and see what the first word says. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, are you going to be performing anywhere when you're back in Utica or?
No. We've done a lot of performing all around the world recently. So we're kind of taking it low key, you know. We're hitting up some of these local club scene, you know.
Right.
We go boozing, you know, and people are always coming up to us and snapping our pictures in our faces and, you know, asking us personal questions about personal life. And we don't want to deal with that, you know. We're back where we came from, and you need to go back to where you came from. You know what I'm trying to say? Just be yourself, man, and everything will be All right.
Now, I was really hoping you were going to be playing somewhere around here because I understood in Rongovia you brought back the whole 70s phenomenon of streaking.
We brought back the whole town to our hotel room one night. Tell them that story, huh? No, better not tell them that story. It's still under investigation by the FBI, actually. They raided our room and they didn't find anything because we already smoked all the hash.
Well, yeah, on the international circuit, you're already becoming legendary, you know, like the early Who or something.
This we're really underground, you know, but we do it classically, like Mozart, you know? It's like a bug just blew up my nose.
It's those moths that you're attracting. Your songs are, it's going crazy.
Brilliant. As long as they buy the album, they can fly up wherever they want, you know what I'm saying? Even down there.
Do you have any poems or why don't you tell us about your influence or so?
Well, you know what? I got a couple of them. Yeah. You know, a couple of influences. One of them being Captain Beefheart. He's a pretty big influence. I like how he used to run around with his magical band and a tape player, and he would just talk into it, and there'd be planes flying overhead, and he didn't even care. Yeah. He didn't care. He was just obsessed with his mission, you know?
Didn't you used to hang out with him in the Mojave Desert and drink lemonade or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. That was Corporal Beefheart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where did he get the name from, Beefheart?
Beefheart? I think it came from a cat food, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Beefhearts.
Actually, it was his uncle's penis, oddly enough, but I probably shouldn't tell that one on the air either. And that's a true story, by the way.
Yeah. Interesting.
Clever nickname.
I'll never be able to hear Beefheart again. So,
Another favorite one of my influences has got to be Syd Barrett from the almighty godforsaken Pink Floyd sound from 1967, Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
Oh, yeah,
it's a good desert.
One of the all-time great psychedelic records.
That's absolutely right. Recorded right next to the Beatles and their famous flop, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the duo, the Beatles and Syd Barrett, that song they put together?
No. I didn't think they ever worked together because Syd was in his own, he was just on his own, you know?
Yeah.
He was growing up alone, you know?
Yeah. I think one night they did a few recordings together.
What's the new Mary Jane?
Oh, that's not...
Yeah.
Okay.
Not really.
A myth broken.
That's false.
Okay.
That's false.
So whatever, did you visit with Syd while you were in England? Is he still eating pork chops or something?
No, believe it or not, he's actually a recluse now, and he won't talk to anybody, not even when he's riding his bicycle down the street like an old eccentric gentleman. I saw him walking with a newspaper once. I saw a picture of him walking with a newspaper.
Well, I guess if you
never actually saw him, really.
I guess if you knew where he lived, you could have gone there with some Dunkin' Donuts or so, or like a newspaper, and knocked on.
I hear he hates donuts. So I'd have to go there with something that he loves.
Right.
And I don't know what anybody loves. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's really hard, unless you fill out your profile. You know what I'm saying?
So you want to be somewhere between Captain Beefheart and Syd Barrett?
I want to be somewhere between the United States and Canada. You know what I'm saying? So I can get over that border real quick. You know what I'm saying? Nice and easy.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah, I want to have a nice escape route.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to say. From when that psychedelic revolution starts all over again. You know, it happened once.
You gonna watch it from a safe distance from Canada? Or are you gonna? I thought you were gonna be like the
vortex. Watch it from the highest mountain in Canada.
Cool. That's cool. Well, I think you're going to be the prophet of it. Everyone's going to gather underneath your psychedelic banner.
That's a lot of responsibility, Alex, but I'm willing to take it.
Cool. Because we need you, man. We need psychedelic leaders out there.
And I need you guys, you know,
to
kill people for me and stuff like that. Get me drugs, you know?
Well, that gives the psychedelic revolution a new meaning, you know, but I guess it's going to have to be bloody this time, so.
Yeah. You know? The bloodier the merrier, right? Just like the drink.
Right. At least the blood you could use for tie-dyes and stuff.
Psychedelic. Let's get a bathtub. We'll make up a couple. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you got a poem or so?
We can go through another tune.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you're up to. I mean,
this song, I like this song. Because it's about the simple things, you know? Sometimes you gotta stop and smell them diggity dang gone flowers, you know what I'm saying? When you smell them, sometimes there's a bumblebee in there, you know? But it's okay because he's just a little curious little guy.
Does the bumblebee ever go up your nose?
He's not there to hurt me. I don't know. I don't know if the bumblebee goes up my nose. Because I have to sleep, you know? You know what I'm trying to say?
I hear it.
Okay, so this song here is about simple things and liking them. Let's try to take it. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I like simple things and you like. I like some silly things and you like. I like some stupid things, but at least I try, yeah. But I like the color green, makes me smile. So I'll just pass the time by passing time for a
Again, I'm flabbergasted.
Thank you very much.
Your song's got brilliant hooks on them, man. They're going to be singing. Those tunes are going to be singing in my head from here to eternity.
It's just simple. And what better music to hear playing aside from church hymnals? You know.
That's right, man. This is a special moment. I feel like I'm on the rooftop in London with the Beatles or something. This is really cool, man.
Well, thank you very much for having us here. I almost feel like I'm on a rooftop myself, except I'm about to jump off and kill myself.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
But in a good way.
Oh, okay, in a good way. Okay.
Freedom. Freedom.
You know, I feel when I hear your songs, I feel like I could fly too, but I'm going to try it from the ground, you know.
LSD wouldn't hurt either. Try LSD on the ground. I recommend that. If you're in a building, get down to the lowest floor.
Right. Like Bill Hicks says, you know, you don't see ducks like going up the elevator to jump off. They do it from the ground. So,
yeah, I heard a fact today that said that a duck can't walk without bobbing its head. The exact same way, Alex.
Interesting.
Get a beat in me, get a tune in me. I'm like a Christian soldier.
Cool. Well, what do you dream in music? Where do your songs come from?
I do dream in music, even though I can't read music. Mm-hmm. So my dreams are really confusing. So I rely upon my horoscope to interpret my dreams, and I live my life every day by what my horoscope tells me what to do, which is why I'm trying to meet new people today.
Well, it told you to meet new people.
Yes, it did, and I respect that. Because it's random chance, you know. It's not just somebody writing them, you know. It's a horoscope. It's just meant to be.
Right. Mine told me not to leave the house today, but I decided to ignore it because this moment was just too big. So
sometimes you have to ignore it, though, Alex. You know, sometimes you can't just always live your life in a rigid structure.
Yeah.
Because then you'll have 3D rocks come tumbling down on you.
Right. It's like you can look both ways before you cross the street, but what's going to hit you is going to come from above.
A piano, you know, from the sky. These slacker moving men trying to move, and the rope breaks. Yeah. Falls on your head.
Right, right. Yeah, I always liked that episode of Northern Exposure where they catapulted the piano over. I didn't care. I don't remember anything else about that, but just the piano flying through there.
That show used to come on after Doogie Howser, didn't it? Doogie Howser, M.D.?
Could be, yeah.
That was a good show. No pianos on that one, though, I don't think.
Right, right.
A couple of organs, though. in the hospital, you know? Organ, body organs.
Wow, it sounds like if you're Paul Burnout, this is Paul Burnout, you know, if things don't pan out for music, you might go into stand-up comedy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Things are going to pan out how they pan out, Alex. That's very successful for me.
Obviously. Well, I mean, obviously they're going to pan out. You're going to be the next Beatles, but...
I don't understand if you don't have any faith.
Right,
I don't understand that.
Well, music's going to be too easy for you. It's going to be too easy a conquest, so then you can go and be like the next Lenny Bruce, too. So.
I like that. Uh-oh, see? See what's going on now?
Yeah, Pete, it's coming off the hook here. We got a hello.
Looks like we got a live one on the wire. No, nope, it was another Frank phone call. Yeah. I know who it is, Frank. Stop calling here and hanging up. Embarrassing me and all my buddies, all my buddy burnouts. This is a church of real science. You know what I'm saying? This is a burnout society. You know? Either get on or burn out and blaze away. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Higher balloon rides.
Yeah, I'm all for that. You know, yeah, I believe that. You know, but what was that? The Neil Young song, right?
I've never heard of him before.
Right.
Except I think he did play on one Monkees tune.
Uh-huh.
I love the Monkees, though, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're always taking them trains to last.
Oh, yeah.
All those trains to Clarksville.
Right, you know? Right. And they also would go on bathtubs on the street. I like that.
Yes,
that's
that
my preferred
true.
Mode of transportation.
That's true, especially when they have them races during a good old summertime street festival in downtown Utica.
Right. Now, are you thinking about starting your own a movie show
festival?
Like that? No, well, that too, but like, well, you're going to start your world revolution, so the street festival would be included with that. But like the Monkees had their own TV show, are you going to do that too? Like where they, you know, the camera shows your everyday life.
I bought a dozen cherry bombs.
We did a pilot, actually.
Oh, did you?
When we were, I don't even know where we were, Eastern Europe, somewhere over there.
I don't think there was film in the camera, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to pick it up.
No. Well, I mean,
because
I think...
Instead of our English accents, that's what ruined the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Your Cockney accent?
You do. I'm proud. I'm proud to be wherever I'm from. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wherever it is you think
I'm
from.
You ever sing that song, I'm Proud to Be an American?
Have I ever heard it? I wrote that song. No, I didn't write it, actually. I co-wrote it.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I co-wrote it with, what's that guy's name? Lee Greenwood.
Wow. Tonight's been educational. We found out where Beefheart came from and Lee Greenwood, who wrote Proud to Be an American.
And Sid Barrett doesn't like donuts.
Really? Yeah, right. We found that out, too.
He hates that.
Unless they're like pork chop flavored
donuts. Pork chop flavored donuts.
Yeah.
He's one of my friends on there. You just got to read his profile there. I'm myspace.com/TheRealBurnouts. Go check us out up there. MySpace or yours, huh? I'll kiss you on your open mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's right.
You got any songs about that? About kissing girls on their open mouth? Or?
Actually, that's pretty funny because this next tune we're going to play for you is kind of sexy.
Groovy,
so if you got kids and you still feel sexy, maybe put them down a little early, you know? Give them their little pudding while they're watching Knight Rider. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, you guys are listening to a very special moment here. First time in 3 years their Burnouts have been back in America, and they're playing live songs at the studio. This is a ground-shaking event. It's like Elvis in Hawaii. Okay, take it away, boys, about the open-mouth kits.
Girl, you're the one for me. How I know, 'cause that's why I breathe. You know that I live to tell. That's why my life is a living hell. Girl, you're gold around the edge. Look at your ass and look at your breasts. Girl, you're the one for me. How I know, 'cause that's why I breathe. You know that I live to tell. That's why my life is a living hell. 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 Hell.
why my life is a living hell. Girl, you're going around the edge. Look at your ass and look at your breast. Look at your ass and look at your breast. Look at your ass and look at your breast.
Great song, another great song. I love them breast implants and all those enhancements that they have these days.
We like them natural.
Yeah, I
personally.
Yeah, how do you tell? I don't know. I don't know.
More cushion for the pushing.
You touch on them, you feel them. It's the only way.
Yeah, I'm.
If they look too good to be true, they probably are.
I'm inexperienced, so I don't know. I guess I was told that the implants are usually cement. They pour cement in there, right?
So. I heard about that once, but I think that's a form of torture, actually, nowadays.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
That's Hollywood for you,
right?
You know?
Well, that song really chased my libido around like a dragon, man.
Me too.
I'm like, I gotta get out and yank the donkey or something.
I'm horny as a firefly the last day of summer. You know what I'm saying? What's so funny, Alex?
I love the poetry that, you know, just comes off the top of your head.
Can I tell you a couple of jokes?
yeah, go ahead.
While I'm sitting here, you guys are listening? Yeah. Here's one I've been working on. You guys hear this one?
Yeah.
No, you guys say no. You haven't heard it yet.
Oh, no.
I didn't
say
it yet.
Okay.
No. It's part of the bit.
Well, I'm psychic because I talk to dolphins. So
I heard it in my dreams. I like that. Well, don't ruin the ending of the joke then. All right. Here's this one. 8,000 computers were tested, and the account executive passed the test. It's a pretty good one. You guys have account executive? Oh, I guess that's one of those rock and roll famous, you know. Gotta be famous. They have those accountants, you know.
Yeah, only the big guys would understand that.
Okay, here's another one. Here's another good one. I just came up with this one, too. This is a pretty good one. I like this one. How about this one? You hear this one?
No.
Thank you. This year's income is $756. The loss in value after 1 year is $3,300.
What?
The loss in value.
Oh, the loss in value of 700.
This year, let me repeat it. Can I repeat that one? How about this one? This year's income is $756.
Uh-huh.
And the loss in value after 1 year it's $3,300.
All right. Inflation will kill you.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's a commentary on that, you know?
Right.
You think you owe this much, and then it turns out you owe that much, and the government's taking all your money, you know?
Right,
Beatles were saying with that tax man song, I'm going to tax your feet,
right,
you know?
Yeah, the man can't get ahead, you know, or everything goes to the man or something.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
But you're
thing.
You no longer have to worry about that. You're not the common man anymore, man. You're up in the...
I'm on the international food stamp level. You know what I'm saying? It's a little better than American food stamps.
Yeah.
Because you can buy pizza with it.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Pizza. Right. That's right.
How was the Rongovian pizza?
It was a little hairy, and there were they put psychedelic mushrooms on them over there. I didn't know that.
I got a visit.
I was wondering why it cost $30 for an eighth of a pizza. You know what I'm saying? Didn't that seem a little weird to you?
Yeah, right. Wow. I've heard of space cake before, but not the psychedelic pizza. It's
space cake, huh? We got to swap numbers after the show.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No drugs on the tour bus, though.
Right. Well,
hear that, police?
They're pretty uptight about that now. Nowadays, they're pretty uptight about that here, you know.
Yeah, that right. We found that out the hard way. That was before we even had a tour bus. This was back in high school when we found that out.
Right.
Coming out of the spot, you know?
Right. So have you had any, you think you're going to, now, you said that you're not going to be touring the States, but you got the tour bus, so what
are
you going to be
doing? Not the United States.
Hold on, we got an incoming. You want to take this?
Sure, let's put them right on the air.
All right, hello, you're on WHCL. Can we hear anything? I don't know.
I can't hear a lick or nothing.
Hello?
Hey.
Yes. Oh, we got.
It sounds like my manager's on the line. Is that my manager?
Tim Schrant. Yeah, Tim Schrant from Brooklyn's calling in.
Wow, that's great. That's how much we cleared after last night's set. What are you laughing at?
Can we hear him up here?
The rest of it probably went up your nose.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I got a suitcase full of rubber chickens for you to take on tour.
Ah, shucks. That's great. I'll keep them all for myself.
I've been juggling them. So
like greedy fans.
Yeah,
nothing.
Actually, I was wondering if I might be able to like open for you guys with my ventriloquist rubber chicken juggling act.
Sounds great to me. The guy who used to, you remember that guy used to put himself inside of a balloon?
You talking about?
You see it on Improv Acts, you know? That guy
okay.
who put himself in a
really?
Balloon.
Really? Yeah, like
suffocated himself to death. That was our former opening act.
Oh,
he's dead now.
Okay.
Killed himself.
Okay, I was gonna
got
say,
trapped in his own balloon.
Right, right.
So actually, we're looking for a new opening act,
cool.
actually.
Well, how about ventriloquism and rubber chicken?
I like juggling. Ventriloquism. It's a little quiet, though, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when talking to your little buddy, you know?
Right, right. Well, I don't know. I could mic him up a little bit, you know? And my Charlie Sealy doll. my ventriloquist doll is smarter than I am. So I'm the dummy.
Is that the bit?
Huh?
Is that the bit?
Uh-huh.
The comedy
well, no,
bit?
No, it's not the comedy bit. It's a smart doll.
Oh.
You know? So...
I gotta give me one of them too. Is it like Chucky?
Yeah, and it plays guitar a little bit. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a little ukulele?
Yeah, it's gonna cover some of your songs, and then you guys can go on after.
Well,
nothing.
Hey, don't put me out of business.
No,
I want 10%. Well,
okay.
I want 11%.
Okay.
Or you cut me out of this.
Yeah. He's still with us. Oh, is Tim still with us? Your manager from Brooklyn?
I don't get him back online anyway. He's being a big crybaby and stealing all my money.
Yeah, I heard he was pretty honest, but, you know,
yeah, just not when it comes to the record books.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
So, so you're not really touring the States, but you got a tour bus, so what are you going to, what's up with that?
My tour bus is kind of where I'm living right now, and it's kind of parked in my parents' driveway.
Oh, yeah?
Right now. But.
The mighty have fallen, huh?
Well, if you think that sleeping in your mother's bed is a bad thing. We get along very exceptionally well together. She's very supportive of me.
She's a sweet woman.
Sweet, sweet woman who cares about my drug use deeply. She said to me, Paul, burnout, Junior, when you hit absolute rock bottom, I want you to come back home and I want you to live with me. Alex, the world is a weird, strange place. Because you know when I hit rock bottom? When we were the most successful.
Really?
We were the most successful fan in the world, Alex.
This sounds like a biblical revelation here. You were living in the castles
Let's
of Rangoven.
Let's not start any trouble again, you know? Remember what happened back in the 60s with all that reading into things.
Right, I wanted to ask you about your... you can bust into another song or poem
or anything.
But the... after your next song, we'll talk about your UFO experiences.
I love to talk about that.
Yeah, cool.
Right after this next song, which is about sex again. It's about a sexy song about sex.
Do you have any sex songs with aliens?
Not that I openly talk about.
Okay.
Sometimes I recall the aliens women.
Huh?
You know? And all the filthy things they can do.
Do they wear lipstick or...
I didn't notice because I was too drunk at the time. Let's try to take this one again. This song is called, I actually didn't really have a name right now, but it's pretty good. So if you want a copy of it, just ask for one of the songs that we played on the radio. Okay, let's try to take it. Okay.
I say your name, I bet you didn't purr once today. Tell me your name, or won't I find it in the flames of the past? Well, stormy weather's just a metaphor. Then that's better than where I'm at right now. Right now, but if stormy weather is just stormy weather, then a lightning strike and the howling wind is just nature's way of saying yes, 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 yes. Hands and knees. about your sleeping arrangement. Well, you know, I've got an idea. It's me next to you, then later it's me on top of you.
Another and Jen, from the heart, I think I'm just going to turn this show over into like the real burnouts every week. They're just going to be here singing every week for
Thanks
2 hours.
Thanks an awful lot for that compliment. That song is like a prophylactic to me. You know
no,
what I'm
this is like I didn't understand some of the language, like metaphor. I never heard that word before. But
it means when something means something else.
Okay, thank you. And but I have to say, really, like you're when you said. When you were saying yes, that's very haunting. It actually sounded like the weather. Like,
orgasmic. Or did it sound like the weather?
Well, it sounded like an orgasmic rush of wind at night. Like
sometimes the weather can be orgasmic.
Yeah, it can. I mean, and somehow you managed to capture like Halloween wind, orgasmic Halloween wind with your yes. I mean, that was a haunting
mess. I think that rain is kind of like nature's natural orgasm. You know?
Hey, wow.
Especially during a thunderstorm, you know? That's one of them violent ones where you're holding them down and punching them and kicking them and having sex, you know?
Right.
Real violent.
Wonderful, wonderful image for a thunderstorm. And we could use one now. We're in the middle of a heat wave.
That's what I'm trying to say. Let me put you this way. I don't miss those cold places we went to, like Antarctica.
Right.
I don't miss that at all right now. I do miss it because it was too cold there.
Right.
That's why I missed it, because it was too cold.
Right.
You know?
Well,
like
that was back when you were trying to, you were sort of like in your Sid Barrett phase when you wanted to be in total darkness, the eclipse of the moon, so you went to Antarctica during the summer and the Arctic during the winter.
I was
so
really
you had
screwed up on drugs at the time. I didn't know where I was.
Yeah.
For approximately 8 to 10 hours a day.
Well, that's.
I used to wake up only urinate and defecate.
Right in the Arctic Antarctic snows.
Yeah, and that's not pleasant because that wind will blister you. You know, it's just that cold.
So
it's just that cold.
That's
don't
let
them tell you wrong.
Is that where your song "Crystal Poop" came from? Or?
Crystal poop.
Mm-hmm.
How did you hear that one?
Someone's like carrying a bunch of like bootleg tapes of your like basement tapes in the Antarctic down under. You know, so.
Find out who that is for me, because that's not appreciated.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not getting none of that. I'm not getting a cut of that. I'm not even getting 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9% of that. You know.
Nothing from the Crystal Poop.
Nothing from the Crystal Poop, and that's one of my own personal favorite songs.
Right.
That I wrote.
Right.
It's really deep in there.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody's laughing at something. I say something. But anyway, shall we try to play another song?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great.
The airwaves are yours.
We got two.
This is burnout radio.
This is burned out radio. I like the sound of that. As long as we don't have to pay for the radios. You know what I'm saying? This next tune here is about smoking marijuana. And, you know, about how wrong it is. And about how guilty I feel about it all the time. And I can't even enjoy it, you know? It's like a buzzkill as soon as I get stoned all the way.
Right,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Like back in the 80s when Nancy Reagan was saying, just say no, that used to haunt me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't really indulging that much, but like she really, if it weren't for her campaign, my life would have probably been ruined, you know what
right.
I'm saying, brother? Like
when you're just up there tossing and turning all night long feeling guilty, you know?
Yeah.
Like you let your parents down.
After all.
It was a horrible thing.
You really let your parents down, you know, by smoking all that doob. In the garage.
Right.
And then you come back a couple of years later with your tour bus after your band falls apart and you're sleeping in your mother's bed, you know, smoking doob. Hey, it could happen to you, too. You got to be responsible. It's a warning to everybody out there.
Right.
You know, just got to be responsible about it.
Yeah, and it makes you do silly things like try to share a doob with a dolphin and stuff, you know. I mean, crazy stuff. I was out in the surf once in California, like, you know, holding out a doob for a dolphin to come up. And that's when I got that shark attack, but...
That is an outrageous story.
Yeah.
Absolutely outrageous. You got to tell it to me when I'm stoned sometime, though, because I'll over-exaggerate.
Right.
So let's do this song here about smoking marijuana. It's called All Summer Bong. It's really appropriate because now it's the summertime. Excuse me. My voice is starting to go out. because I've been we're just coming off our semi-world tour here. We also just got back from Iraq. That's right. That's a hot spot over there, you know. I thought it'd be a good idea because, you know, while our neighborhood would stop by was for our troops. You know what I'm saying? With some real good old American rock and roll. And we called it the Rabble Rouser Tour. Not a good idea. I will be the first one to admit that it was not a good idea, basically, because there were several explosions each show, and I'm pretty sure that people were being killed. But I couldn't see it so well from the stage.
Wow,
so the show went on.
That's pretty gory, man. And then, like, they heard the explosions, and they weren't sure if it was part of your stage show or, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
That reminds me of, like, Apocalypse Now or something. Huh?
It's like the modern-day equivalent of Altamont, you know?
Right, right, right.
So we just kept playing, you know? I didn't know that some dude got stabbed, you know? I was just like, kiddies, kiddies, and I'm trying to calm everybody down.
Yeah, I know. Here you are trying to spread love and peace and world brothership and solidarity, and you know, people are getting like butchered in front of your stage. I mean, horrible, man.
Reminds me of that Beatles album cover there. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Except
right,
there
yeah.
was people being killed.
Yeah. You still hanging out with the Hells Angels? Or?
We're not actually on speaking terms right now because they really let us down in terms of our security, and actually two truckloads of equipment have been stolen by them. I saw them do it by myself. But,
really?
You know, I try to call the local police department, and the local police department is run by the Hells Angels.
Wow.
But anyway, let's do this tune about marijuana before I forget the lyrics. Okay, let's try to take it. It's a pretty one. Stay tuned.
Again, man, I'm flabbergasted. I'm bowled over. Your material is incredible, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us here. Tonight,
yeah, I just got to ask, like, when you sing that song live, do you have you're playing the rattles or?
I usually play the drums.
Right. Okay. But does anyone a bong sound might be like the bubbling water sound, or has that been incorporated into the?
I would love to incorporate it somehow, but apparently it's against the law to publicly smoke marijuana, which we also found that out.
Right. Right.
The hard way back in high school.
Right. Okay.
Officer Johnson set us straight on that one.
Right.
Thank you for that. By the way, he put me into an after-school program, And within 3 months from there, I got a part-time job at McDonald's.
How long was the McDonald's gig?
About 2.5 hours.
Probably. Right, really?
Yeah, before I stormed out of there with a handful of fries. Delicious, so I don't hate them for it, you know?
Right, right.
I don't
right,
hate them for
right,
it.
Right, right.
It's the most important thing.
Well, you know, I mean, all experiences add to your, you know, I mean, I'm sure, have you ever written a McDonald's song or, you know, your experience?
Not yet. Not yet. I've thought about it, uh-huh. but I just, I to be honest with you, I haven't gotten around to it.
Maybe you could, I mean, I'm a little bit square, but, you know, maybe you could play off something like a 2-all beef patty special, sauce, lettuce, cheese, bristles, onions on a sesame seed bun or something, you know. Like.
Those are the most delicious lyrics I've ever heard in my life, but now I'm really hungry for a number three.
Yeah, right, right.
For some reason. I don't even know what a number three is.
Right, right.
You know?
I'm sure they have one, though.
I'm sure they do. They probably have a number four, too.
Right, right. Because, I mean, basically, a lot of their customers are illiterate, so they just have to have the numbers.
The numbers, know? That's right, or just a picture they can point to, you know?
Right.
Same
right.
thing with the employees there, God bless them.
Yeah, those nice, juicy pictures.
You know? I just wish all those employees got to meet up with Officer Johnson, mm-hmm. like I was fortunate mm-hmm. enough to have met up with him when he caught me when I was coming out of a spot with a nickel bag when I was in high school.
Right, right, Officer Johnson.
That's right. He was a real... He was a tough guy, but, you know, I love him for it. You know, he became like a real father figure to me.
Bike.
He broke my bike. That's right.
What did he do?
He slammed it in the trunk, actually, and he claimed it was an accident. But I don't believe him. And consequently, since that date, I also don't believe police officers at all, actually. All police officers.
Right,
I don't
right.
care if they have a family.
Yeah, but you're spreading the message of love and peace worldwide. I guess you have to like love those police officers.
It's a long, hard road, Alex, and it's not as easy as it sounds, brother.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
you got one person pushing you forward, and you got three people pushing you down. You know,
right? I hear you. And I remember, like you said, you once said the only flower you'd ever want to give a cop is from a flower pot on the third story. You know,
I don't remember saying that, but you can quote me on that. Right, I want 5%
well,
of that.
You have the blackout years, you know, so a lot
blackout
of...
Blackout years, of, that's right.
A lot of your... Well, you're...
Just coming out of that. Now I'm entering into my Twilight Zone years.
Right, 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 right. But you had a number of biographers following you around back then.
Sure did. Yeah. The thing that really annoyed me is that they were always sharpening their pencils. That's the thing that really annoyed me. And I was like, listen, I'm eating dinner. You know what I mean? I'll let you know I'm going to do something.
What were they actually, like, writing what you were having for dinner or something?
I think they were. Which, actually, you know, I'll tell you the truth, I'd like to go back and read that, actually.
Right.
Find out what I had on that Thursday, you know?
Right, right.
Be like a good home and careers experiment, you know?
Right, right.
For all that sauerkraut I was eating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you'd like to read all the records they had of you, but
I don't want to talk to them.
Right,
you know?
Right. You don't want that entourage of biographers anymore.
Not anymore.
I remember you locked the one up in the closet, or rumor has it, legend has it, you locked the one up in the closet and made him write by votive candle or something like that for 3 weeks, and he almost starved to death. But.
He actually did starve to death, actually, and I was on trial for that for manslaughter.
Right.
Which that was the most trumped-up charge I've ever heard in my life. Because if I'm going to kill a man, I'll kill a man. I'm not going to kill a man by locking him in a room.
Right.
That's not killing a man.
Right, right. But that helped your music career because...
It helped enormously. It got my foot in the door at all the major newspapers from Los Angeles, California, to New York City, New York, United States, America.
Right. And it's like, you know, like, I mean, it was sort of like a Manson type thing where, like, who would have heard his music if he hadn't, you know, been a homicidal maniac?
Exactly.
So. Exactly. You know, that's always a choice, I think, for, you know, people that want to get into the music business is, you know, go on a killing spree and sing songs about it. What the hell?
Well, you know what I say? In the immortal words of the Macho Man Randy Savage, art thou bored? I think that's relevant for some reason.
Right,
know?
Right. Well, hey, say it right before you kill, you know?
More reason.
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Hey, you guys want to belt out another one?
Yeah, yeah. We'll go through. This is our last tune that we're going to play. Yeah. It's a Monkees tune. One of my favorite bands. I love these guys. They had more number ones than the Beatles consistently. If you look that up, that's probably true.
Hey, can I ask you, their song, The Train Leaving Clarkville Station, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, is that in Tennessee or where's Clarkville?
I always thought it was a fictional song about a fictional romance. I never looked at the actual facts.
In a fictional state. Because, like, I have a long history with Tennessee. My sister's been down there, and I used to scour the state looking. For some reason, I thought it was in Tennessee, and I couldn't find the city or the... And now, like, trains don't leave anywhere. There aren't.
There is a Clarksville up north, actually. By, like, Malone, up that way.
Really? In New York State? So... Wow, maybe the monkeys were in upstate New York.
Actually, okay. I hear there isn't this amusing story. When that single came out, they thought it'd be funny to rent a train and play the song in the train
as they were
going from one, one major city to another major city that they dubbed Clarksville. You know,
right.
The only thing is that when you're on a moving train, things are moving all over the place, and the amplifiers tipped over, and the drums were moving all over the place. It was a big disaster.
Right.
That's humorous to me though, because they probably invested a lot of money into that.
Right. Did you see the documentary that's out now? I don't know why it took so long. Maybe they were saving the public from its tedium. But the Festival Express.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's about, you know, it's all those groovy hippie bands in the, I think, when was it? You want to?
Groovy is one word for it.
Yeah, groovy.
Hippie bands is another?
Yeah. So I waited for Janis Joplin to sing, and then I had to walk out of the theater. It was sort of boring. I couldn't take it anymore. I thought it might be interesting to see, you know, this combination of people in a train getting drunk and stoned and creating music, but it somehow fell flat.
Not as beautiful as it sounds.
No, I'd save your money. Don't get Festival Express, but... but anyways, your story reminds me of that. And also, maybe, I don't know, maybe you guys could do something like that sometime. Hop on a train.
I would absolutely love to. We'll do it on the Adirondack Scenic Railroad.
Yeah.
Where the only people that can ruin it for us is that Loomis gang. Still, you know what?
That's the thing that really bothers
me. Why can they not catch these guys?
Do they still attack?
You know what I'm saying? They have been ruining perfectly good scenic tours for the past 30 or 40 years.
And
they can't get. They ride up on horses, and attack people on the train. Why can they not catch them? You hear that, old Ford?
Don't they bring the FBI in? Like, I mean, these guys. Where can they be hiding up there? There's not that many hiding spots.
Maybe they work for the FBI themselves.
No, because they get a Loomis conspiracy theory. Loomis conspiracy theory. That's right. It's crazy. What are the cops getting paid for if they can't stop these guys, you know?
That's all I'm trying to say. Person to person.
Hey, well, did you think about just taking the train, taking the law into your own hand, and blowing them away with a gun?
It's against the law to take the law into your own hands.
Oh, is it?
Okay. In this day and age, unless you're Judge Judy.
Yeah.
But then again, she went to school to take the law into her own hands.
Right.
It's not like that karate guy around here that molested children.
Right. Well, maybe you can write a song about Judge Judy someday.
I'd love to. I emailed her once, but I got no response from her.
No.
She's probably really busy reading all that fan mail of hers about people saying how beautiful she is, how fair she is, and how hot Bird is. He's a bailiff there. He's pretty cute.
I bet you if you wrote a love song for her. Well, maybe if you write a love song for her, you know. I'm getting hot thinking about it.
Do that.
I can imagine her like dolphins in the surf under the moonlight, you know?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Oh, there's a dolphin in here right now.
Oh, Robin is transforming into a dolphin as we speak.
That's incredible. I'm seeing it with my eyes.
Yeah, she's growing the gills. Hey, go ahead, Robin. Give the...
I'm smiling too.
Wow.
Looks like it hurts a little bit.
Big up to John Lilly.
Okay, so you want to belt out your song?
Yeah. This is the last tune. It's a Monkees tune. It's from their first album called The Monkees. And here we go. Let's go through it. Let's dance on. Well, baby, come on. Let's dance on till the dawn. Have fun till the music's all gone. We've been dancing nearly all night long. Let's keep it up, baby, 'cause the music's still strong. Been doing the pony.
Pony.
Now you're doing the jerk.
Doing the jerk.
Oh, come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
see how you work. Let's dance on. Well, baby, come on. Let's dance on till the dawn. Have fun till the music's all gone. The way you're moving, girl, you look so fun. Been doing the shotgun. Let me see you do the twine. Do the wah-wah Tuesday.
Wah-wah Tuesday.
And the action too.
Hang on, baby.
I do the Snoopy with you. Let's dance on. Well, baby, come on. Let's dance on till the dawn. Have fun till the music's all gone. Woo!
Thank you, everybody, for having us here tonight. We're having a great time.
And thank you.
You guys have been absolutely 100% beautiful tonight. 105% beautiful tonight. You've just been so nice, so accommodating to this band. It's from where you're from, and we come where you live. And you just wait and listen. You know what I mean? We wait and see how we're going to do. You know, I dare you to. I dare you to.
I'd like to extend a special thanks to our manager, Tim. Chunk of deuce, bitch.
I would also like to looks like the phone's getting blown up again.
We've really been privy tonight to listen to the musical stylings of the Real Burnouts. Now we're going to listen to some of their influences. I think they brought some CDs to play, so stay tuned. You can hear where the magic began.
Thank you.
Okay, the first thing was an outtake from the Rocky 2 or 3 soundtrack from Sly Stallone, one of the great actors of our generation. Remember First Blood? Yeah.
That's the movie that made me join the Marines.
You too?
Yeah, you did it too. Huh? You fell for the trap, huh?
Yeah, they kicked me out, though.
Yeah.
Then after that, we heard a little Brian Eno from Here Come the Warm Jets. Excellent song, Needle in the Camel's Eye. It's fabulous. Then we heard a little Feely's, It's Only Life. Then we tried to hear a little Tiny Tim, but technical difficulties, you know. We heard a little Tiny Tim. Yes, actually. He was a fan of the area, but
yeah, actually when I had my coffee shop, that would have been my crowning jewel. I tried to contact him to have him play it.
Yorkville or Whitesboro?
Yeah, in Yorkville, yeah. Slackers, about 10.
I remember actually going there when I was about 13 and being a little like, "Whoa.
Yeah.
This is a coffee shop."
All right, too bad I couldn't have provided a Tiny Tim moment for you, but
well, there was people playing chess, I remember. And that was kind of weird.
Yeah. That's about all we did, I suppose, play chess and listen to Tiny Tim.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Kind of club.
Hey, did you ever hear that, like, he used to, after showering, he used to dry himself off with napkins or paper towels?
Yeah.
And I often when I run out of towels, I'm tempted to do the Tiny Tim dry-off method.
I personally use toilet paper, actually, to dry off.
Yeah, I've thought of that, too. It seems
it's
a little
clumpy, if you know what I mean, but it's pretty fabulous.
Can you reuse it after drying off? Or?
When he brushed his teeth, he wouldn't wash his mouth out afterward. He left the toothpaste right in his mouth.
Yeah. Cool.
Never lost.
Good idea.
Did you hear that? He died with he was at a ukulele convention and he had a heart attack or something like that?
On stage, actually, playing music.
Right. And
that was the second time, though, too.
Yeah.
Because he collapsed about a month before that on stage.
Right. And I heard that someone actually stole his ukulele after he died.
That I don't know.
A cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah.
But I mean, another thing that actually you have to remember about him is that he was a great, I don't even know what the word would be, chronicler of, you know, late 19th century weird music, basically. It kind of gets lost in the shuffle of, you know.
Right. Do you know how he was discovered?
Actually, the first recording that he did was in a recording booth, one of those make-your-own-records thing for a girl that he was infatuated with.
Interesting.
Ended up passing the record around, and he was also playing around in Greenwich Village at the same time as Dylan and all that.
Well, I heard that Lenny Bruce was in Times Square. He used to go to this little Times Square flea circus type place. They had all these weird acts, and Tiny Tim was one of them. And Lenny Bruce was just floored by him, so he had him open for him, and then he became a really hip thing to do, and got married on Johnny Carson, and the Beatles would go to see him, and all that, and then he ended up dying of a heart attack and getting his ukulele stolen. So,
but he put out later. He lasted a lot longer than the Beatles did, though. So,
yeah, he did.
That should tell you something.
Right.
Hey, I love those guys too, but you know.
Hey, maybe if it was the Beatles with one guy, they would have lasted longer too.
Word up.
So did he when he was in Utica, he used to open with a circus or so, or what was the?
I think he was visiting family in some cases, wasn't he?
Yeah, or friends as it were, in some cases.
Well, I wish I was in the inner circle, Tiny Tim's inner circle. That might have been cool.
No, you don't want to be. Next tune here is one of my personal favorites by a band called Captain Groovy, and the name of the track is called Captain Groovy and His Bubblegum Army.